And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 115 of Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. You folks are in for a blast. Now, not just one show. But we are going to do this maybe to the precipice of eternity. This is so incredibly excited. As you know, that we've alternated every other week with Mark Clifton, and now on the every other week, which means it's going to be the Mark Clifton Tom Rainer, and then it's going to be Tom Rainer and Kevin Ezell. Do you hear the applause?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Bring out the mop.
There are people at the window they got their fingernails there saying, yeah. Kevin,
that's right. That's why I appreciate it. It took 114 episodes to get to where you invited me to do this. I appreciate it.
We wanted to warm up for you, man. That's what we wanted to do. So, Kevin, welcome to Revitalize and Replant, and I can't tell you, dude, how appreciative I am that you're giving this kind of time, because you got a job to do. You got a day
That's
job.
A day job. But
President of North American Mission Board. There's a lot of history with Kevin and me. I don't want to talk too much about me, because we're going to do the totality of episode number 115 talking about you. Oh. I want to introduce our audience to Kevin Ezell. Obviously, a lot of people are going to already know who you are, obviously. A lot of people will not, because it's like Mark Clifton. He said, yep, I was going around speaking, and people would nod their head at me and start doing the podcast, and they started saying, Mark.
Yeah, that's right. They thought he was the guy setting up the chairs.
Yes. So the International Harvester hat has become famous, and so has Mark Clifton. But people know you, but I want them to get to know you. So I'm going to just kind of prompt you on some things, Kevin, and we're going to use the totality of this to introduce yourself. And then in future episodes, we'll be talking about a lot of things. So hang on. Y'all really need to hear about Kevin Ezell. So talk to us first about when you became a believer in Christ.
Sure. I actually was very young. I was 8. And my parents took us to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We drove by the church on Monday and Thursday just to see if there was anything going on.
What town was this?
And so it was in Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. I knew you had roots in Paducah.
Yeah. And my parents were saved in a Southern Baptist church, but they went to Paducah, and they were looking for a church that had a visitation, or they called soul winning program back then. And so we ended up going to an independent Baptist church, and then they ultimately joined the Southern Baptist family, so...
Wow, so your family was the primary influence at that point.
Yeah.
And you've been a church guy the whole time.
No, absolutely. And then I started playing tennis, and I got a scholarship to Union University in Jackson, Tennessee.
I had forgotten the fact that you were such an athlete.
Oh, no, yeah, right. I was in the history books. We did so well, they did away with the program.
Oh, wow.
So, but did that. And really, it was during that time where, I really felt called to call to ministry,
and I
fought it, but God kept steering me that way.
Well, we're going to ultimately get to the point about replanting and planting and the influence that you have in the North American Mission Board, but I certainly want to get some of this other thing. Now, when we start talking about your family,
right,
that is a story in itself.
Right.
The biological kids, the adopted kids. But let's start back with Lynette. Let's start back with the marriage.
Go down the org chart, huh? Start at the top.
Start with her. So
yeah.
Tell us how you met.
Yeah, she was a cheerleader at Union when I was there. And I was the announcer at the ball games, you know, number
Which
23.
Games?
Huh?
Basketball?
Basketball games, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so they did that just as a way to give me a little bit of spending money.
Yeah.
And so I saw her across the floor. I was like, man, That was option A.
I was wondering what you were going to
Well, it's funny. I called my pastor, of course. I was being very bad. I said, hey, look, he said, what's she like? And I said, she's kind of like a cross between Bo Derek and Lottie Moon, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Wait a minute. The looks, and she was spiritual.
Yeah. Well, Derek was a blonde. Your wife's a brunette.
Yeah, Lottie Moon was mean there. So we dated, married right after she graduated, and went to seminary. I was going to be a youth minister. I was like, okay, I felt the call of ministry, and I did not want to be a pastor. My dad was a deacon. And
so you saw the underbelly sometime?
I did, and like, I do not want a piece of that.
Yeah.
But God had other things in mind. I went to seminary real quick, and we just needed the money. And there's a church that needs somebody to preach. And I went and preached for the seven people.
And really? Yeah. That's my story.
Really?
Yeah. I ended up being called by a vote of 6-1.
I could get, really? I got 7-0, baby.
I could get a unanimous vote with seven people.
Yeah. No, it's sad.
Mary Mulliken voted against me.
That's hilarious.
I don't, not that I would recall her name or anything. I don't remember the positive vote. Well, I do. I actually do. But Mary Mulliken voted against me.
Yeah.
She was also the first one of the seven to die.
Well, what was fun about this church, he's like, hey, look, maybe they paid me $150 a week, and they gave me a parsonage.
You
and
more only. Than only, I did.
Well, that was the only time. They gave me this parsonage. The only reason I got it was because no other guy would move his family into the parsonage. It was in a real rough area of North Fort Worth, and they actually arrested people in our front yard. And the Methodist guy lived across the street,
The
pastor, and he called and said, "Hey, man, there's a guy that just robbed a Dairy Queen. Get your gun and go to the middle of your house." And I said, "Gun? I don't have a gun." He goes, "What, are you an idiot?
What are you doing in this neighborhood?" That
things,
is hilarious.
Things you learn from other guys you pastor with.
So you're a pastor now, and you're in your first church. Mm. Give us let's pull back to the family, and then we're going to come back to your path as being a pastor. So talk to us about we've got you married now. What year was that?
1985.
Okay.
And then we had six kids.
Yeah.
Our oldest two daughters are married. Each of them have three kids, so six grandkids.
You have grandkids. Six grandkids?
I do. It's
do people
wonderful.
Tell you're too young to have grandkids?
And so, no. But it's fantastic. My oldest son is working on his MBA out in California Baptist and doing fantastic. He'll probably never come back. He loves the West. And then God allows us to adopt some children. The first child we adopted was Libby. She's from China. We adopted her when she's one. She's 18.
Wow.
And then Michael Ann from Ethiopia. She was three when we got her. She's 15.
Wow.
JM is from Philippines. He was 12 when we got him, and he's 20. And so it's real funny. We have six kids from four different countries. My joke is, you know, when we watch the Olympics, we win.
We win.
My wife told me, she said, "Hey, really, seriously, what do you think? When we walk in a restaurant with six kids from four different countries, what do you think people think? They look at us funny." I said, "They think you're promiscuous." She's like, "That's not funny. That's not funny."
Yes. Okay. Wow. So you got the six kids. Obviously, the adopted ones came a little bit later. So there's right. spacing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going back up, and we've got you in your first church in Fort Worth, where you, he jealously said, got a unanimous vote.
Right. And exactly.
I did not get a unanimous vote.
Yeah. Well, about after a month, I wouldn't have. You know, I mean, it was a real close 4-3 split there.
They made me preach seven trial sermons.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They said they were going to vote after the first one. They didn't because they said I was too bad.
Uh-huh. Well, as they told me, they said, we really feel like that you should be our next pastor. And we just had a real hard time getting anybody to live in that parsonage. That's exactly what they told me.
How long were you there?
I was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And what was really neat is I went door to door, and we grew from seven to 52. Mm. And yeah, I was kid Jimmy Draper, Dr. Draper, and when he was at First Euless, I was in his association. And we were the fastest growing church in that association.
Percentage-wise.
Yeah, percentage-wise. Yeah, we were 200%. I got the certificates. I still have the certificates to show it.
Okay, know. Gracious. So
I throw that at him all the time. Right? All I know is when I pastored near you, I was busting your chops. It was funny, though, was, that little church. In Texas, it doesn't snow, but they did have some cold, and it was real cold. And my one deacon said, "Hey, why don't we call off church tonight? It's just so cold." And I said, "All right." And he said, "Well, what if we get the van and go over to First Euless and hear Dr. Draper preach?"
Yeah. What, too cold for you?
Yeah, First Euless.
All right. So what happened after that church? Where'd you go?
I went to Hartsville, Tennessee. I was there for 2.5
Where?
Years. First Baptist, Hartsville, Tennessee. Right. It's right by Gallatin.
Oh, it's in the Nashville area.
Yeah. And went there for 2 years.
Well,
it's the smallest town in Tennessee, Trousdale County. And we were single A. And it was real fun. I was a youth minister and the pastor.
Wow.
Six of the starting 11 on the football team all went to our church and won the state championship. It was so much fun. I always love to tell a story about I got to know people by going to the cattle auction. And that's the main place
did
where everybody
did you learn anything about cows?
You know, I did. I just learned you don't wear a sweater vest to a cattle auction. It just doesn't fit.
Where does a sweater vest fit?
On the fifth floor at NAMM. But it was real funny. I end up all these farmers in there. They were dipping and all that. So the second time I went, I got a styrofoam cup. I put a Tootsie Roll in my lip. And went in there acting like I was dipping. They got the biggest kick. Like, well, he's not one of us, but he's trying to be.
And I bet it was a chocolate Tootsie Roll, so it could have a little better dip.
Exactly.
Instead of one of those cherry ones.
Play the role.
All right, so you're in Tennessee now. How long are you there?
It was 2.5 years. Then I went to Marion, Illinois for 5.
I think that's the first time I met you.
Uh-huh, it sure was.
You were finishing up your D-Men, and I served on your committee.
You did.
It was actually a good project. I remember you doing it on AIDS, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I don't recall all of them, but that was one that stood out compared to most other projects.
My advisor said, do something on something that the people on your council will know nothing about. And
it
so
worked.
It worked
perfectly.
No, I was very gracious of you doing that, but it was during the height of all the of all that.
So. Yeah. Wow, that's something.
Yeah, then went to Highview and was there for 14 years.
That's where I got to know you the best.
The privilege of being your pastor.
Yeah, you were my pastor, and there were just a lot of good things that happened during those years.
Good people too. My gosh. I mean, think of all the people. I mean, in that church at one time, you were there, and you and Danny Aiken and
Al Mohler
and Jimmy Scroggins was my student minister. So
wow, that is what a crew!
Yeah, it's I had a Clydesdales, man. They were just kept me in the back and throw them out there.
Those were good days. Those were good days. So let's understand that the listeners to this podcast, a lot of them will immediately know NAM. They'll know that nomenclature. Some of them will not even know what NAM means.
Right.
So I want to hear a little bit of background of the North American Mission Board that we usually affectionately call NAMB or NAM.
Right.
So talk to us about what is going on at NAM. Who is NAM and, why are you here?
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the Southern Baptist family, we have an International Mission Board and a National Mission Board. And so we are the North American Mission Board, as known as NAM. We've gone through pretty huge. I've just finished 9 years. We went through a pretty big transition.
Like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I looked at NAM as inconsequential, outdated, and when I was a pastor, I actually have no help. And so I constantly gave them suggestions as a pastor saying, look, it would help if you do this, it would help if you do that. And they just looked at pastors, I thought, as like we were idiots.
Yeah.
And so we were not the number one customer. And so when I came to NAM, we went through a pretty big transition. We transitioned a lot of people, went from 425 employees at the headquarters in Alpharetta, Georgia, to about 130 today.
Wow.
And so, and then, we transitioned about 700 in the field. Again, they were just focused on things that were, we wanted to make it about evangelism, church planting, and
and eventually replanting.
And absolutely. Well, I consider that all part of
church planting,
replanting, and revitalization, all that. We had desperate need.
Wow. So you're at NAM. Tell us some of the things that are driving you and NAM positively, and what are some things you're excited about?
Yeah, I tell you, we're having incredible high-capacity leaders. I just don't have enough of them. And we have even today we're hosting 200 of our very best leaders in the building. And I can just give you story after story about guys who are just doing an incredible job. Dan Coleman in Augusta, Maine, of all places, the capital of Maine.
Yeah.
Took a little two-car garage where he started with about 50. He's running almost 1,400 today.
And wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. The neatest thing up there, we bought a Catholic church that had gone belly up. And they wanted $1.8 million. I love telling that story. They won $1.8 million. I told our guys, hey, call the Pope and see how much they give us for the church for. And so we offered them $400,000 cash on the barrelhead, and they sold it to us for $400,000.
Wow.
And then we namatized it. We took out all the fountains. That's what we called namatizing it. And basically, man, they went from a few now up to 14. They have 5 different services. I mean, it's just incredible.
So if I were on a slow-riding elevator, I won't make it an elevator pitch, but I'm on a slow-riding elevator, and someone who has no idea what your primary purposes of NAM are. I know we've alluded to it, but tell us right now.
Yeah, a primary purpose of NAM, it's everything we do is about the gospel. It's about evangelizing North America.
Okay.
We feel like the two primary ways to do that is through church planting. We call it Sin Network. We create Sin Network so that they could fly under that banner, regardless of where they are.
Right.
And we plant churches everywhere for everyone, Sin Network. Then we have a compassion mercy side called Send Relief.
Yeah.
And that's about meeting needs and changing lives. And we do that all over. We have
a lot of disaster relief included in that.
Crisis response, disaster relief is a part, and actually it's a small part. We have to do poverty, and we do sex trafficking against it. And then we have all sorts of compassion mercy opportunities, just trying to get churches to model and multiply and to see that there are needs right in the shadow of their own steeple. And that's, again, has a part of revitalization when you – when you really see the need of a community and try to minister in that particular context. And so often we don't do that.
Okay. And then the church planting and replanting?
Yeah. The whole part, when I say Send Network, that has everything to do with planting new churches and replanting. And Mark Clifton's just done a spectacular job.
We love us some Mark Clifton.
Oh, my gosh.
Revitalize and replant.
He's a rock star. I love that guy. And he's kept us on focus of, I mean, we're able now, you know, our goal next year is hundreds to replant, or if you would, you know, flip some of these so that you take a dying church that actually now is having an incredible life. And what we're trying to do is to plant new churches and hopefully save hundreds that were going to die. And then the whole net gain for the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, would be, you know, larger that way.
Yeah, so. And you'll actually hear me say that when we close out, because I say that every single episode of Revitalize and Replant. Well, Jonathan used to. By the way, we've already had our eulogy for Jonathan.
Yeah.
He was at Rainer on Leadership, the sister podcast, and Revitalize and Replant.
He's stocking shelves at Kroger now, right?
Something like that. Something like that. Or maybe VP of Communication for
that's right.
Executive Committee of Southern Baptist Convention, one of the two. He did a great job for us, and I just, you know, we're now in this new era where it's the Kevin Ezell, Mark Clifton era. And so we've got the Mr. Church Replanter, International Harvester hat. I don't call him the International Harvester because that kind of deifies him.
Right.
And then we got the President of NAM here.
Well, you're
It is absolutely incredible.
Well, we're grateful to partner with you and what you're doing to help provide the expertise for churches to do exactly what they need to do. They need to have a plan.
Now, you're in the lane of replanting and planting. We're trying to do, we being Revitalized Network and Church Answers, trying to help some churches, not all of them,
right,
that are in certain areas in the area of revitalization. So distinguish for our listeners the difference that you see between these two.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of a gray area in between, but typically there are so many plateaued churches that some are dying and they won't admit it, and is to be resuscitated. And that, to me, revitalization can happen with churches of all sizes. It hasn't even to do about the attendance necessarily.
Right.
The replant, we have a lot of different variations of replants. I'm so proud of our people to be so kingdom-minded that they take the baton and say, look, we ran a good race, we tried to, and we just cannot reach this community like we need to, and they want to pass the baton, and you can just kind of completely replant that same church or, you know, even sometimes by a different name. And Mark's done a great job. It's funny, Clifton, I've never seen a guy kicked out of more meetings than Mark Clifton.
Not going to do that.
No, I mean, he goes in and talks to the church about being revitalized or replanted. And, you know, people don't want to have that discussion.
Yes.
You know, they just want to put it off. It's like buying their burial plot or something. They just want to, well, you know, eventually, but let's just not talk about it today. And he has those hard discussions and helps them see that they're actually in need. As you know, that's the biggest problem of all this is helping people see their own need.
Exactly. So we've got you coming on every other episode. We'll have 52 episodes a year. That's once a week for the uninitiated
there. Yeah.
And you'll be here for every other episode, beginning with this one. So our listeners are going to not just get a taste of what's going on in your leadership mind. They're going to have a feast. It is going to be absolutely mind-blowing, incredible. So, Kevin, thank you for your willingness to come on Revitalize and Replant. Yeah. It takes a lot of time to record these podcasts, and you've given us this time. You're very gracious. We're very grateful, and we're going to see what God is going to do even more so through this podcast and through the ministry of the North American Mission Board. So thank you, my friend, and we'll look forward to future episodes.
Thanks.
Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by the North American Mission Board. And in case you didn't know it, the North American Mission Board president is sitting across the table from me. And sponsored by ChurchReplanters.com, More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing. The North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend, and you heard what Dr. Ezell said, by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com. In case you didn't catch it in this sponsorship words, you can also see that in the show notes, as well as the outline about Kevin, his salvation, his family, his pastorate background, his ministry at the North American Mission Board, his passion for church planning and church replanting. So stand by, because in one more week we'll have Mark Clifton back on the podcast, and in the week after that, we'll be talking with Kevin Ezell about focusing on revitalization when you have a lot of critics sniping at you, what that will be like. I think he may be able to give us a little bit of insight on that. Thank you once again for being a part of Revitalize and Replant. As always, thanks to the North American Mission Board. As always, thanks to Kevin Ezell and Mark Clifton, where we're partnering and we're working together to grow healthier churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.